Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God's loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. If there are two central things there, it's who he is, God is love, and he expressed his love toward us. And that expression was in the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. There's far more in this than just the sentence, and it's probably almost beyond a communication. Because if love is an emotion, and this is the greatest love that's ever happened, then this is the greatest emotion that's ever happened. It's not a volitional action of God, but it is something that can be received emotionally, not just intellectually. In other words, when this love overwhelms us, our sins are forgiven. We become sons of God. We become children of God. We all know that most memorized verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the love downward, the sacrificial love. He did not say he loved the world because the world was lovely. He loved the world because he is love. And the world needed loving. God so loved the world that he gave. And the primary expression of love is to give. And Annie Johnson Flint said, and gives, and gives, and gives, and gives. And keeps on giving. When we receive this love, then we are participants in it, partakers of it, and givers of it. We cannot receive it and then be a non-giver. As it tells us in the rest of this chapter, he who says he loves God and does not love his brother is a liar. This is something that has, what we'd say, the proof of the pudding. How do we know if somebody's a Christian? If he looks and acts like Jesus. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my followers, if you love one another. And if you do not love one another, we have every good reason to suspect that you are not a follower of Jesus Christ. This command that God has given, that we should love God with all our heart, is not a possibility unless we have received his love. He is the generator of love. He gives, he imparts, we respond. He loves down, we love up. And as we love up, we love God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. And we obey him. As you read through 1 John, you see that love upward is expressed in obedience, and love downward is expressed in sacrifice. Let's look at the Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I always feel funny jumping into a middle of something, but you have to do that in Romans because it never stops. It's connected with each other. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit has the character of God. God is love. And as it tells us in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And here he says, he poured out his love into us like we were containers, like we were a mason jar. And the only difference is, when he poured out his love into us, he didn't put the lid on. We're to be overflowing in love. In fact, he uses that in the, well, let's look at it in a minute. I use the expression when I get to the verse. Here it tells us he poured out his love into us by the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. These are the people he loved in this expression of love of dying. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the central meaning, message of the whole Bible. There is no greater message. It says it several places, so I won't say it's the greatest verse. But it's the central message of the whole Bible: while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And when he died for us, he poured his love into us so that we are now expressors of that love. You've heard me say before that all the religions of the world say you have to be good to go to heaven. But if you have to be good to go to heaven, who is going to go to heaven? Nobody. Because people aren't good. Read the newspapers. Read the history books. People are not good. Now, the Bible agrees with the history books, and then it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. According to this, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, who qualifies to go to heaven? Everybody. All you have to be is ungodly. And we meet the first requisite. We come under the love of God by being ungodly. All the rest of the world says that you have to be good to go to heaven. That is one of the reasons they have reincarnation. They know they weren't good in this life, and they hope there might be an improvement the next one. And it's not true. In 1 John chapter 3, we go back to that. I should have picked it up there, but it has that expression. Chapter 3, verse 1. Mistake it again? Chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 John. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Do you have any idea what lavish is? It means overflow, pour it on. It's more than sufficient. If your children want you to make a peanut butter jelly sandwich for them, and you're stingy with the peanut butter and you're stingy with the jelly, they are saying, more. let's get lavish with this peanut butter and jelly. That's what God is with love. He is not stingy with love. Not only is his love infinite, but his expression of it is more than enough to save everybody. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, and hear what it is, that we should be called children of God. Ungodly people are going to be called children of God. I want you to think about that for a minute. Let's suppose you can think of some little children that you know in the neighborhood that are just awful. Okay? They are just disobedient and dirty and foul and everything else. And then the state comes to you and say, we are now making them your children. Okay? You say, I don't want them to have my name. Now, I'm not prepared to take ungodly little kids. Well, God was prepared to take ungodly people and make them children. That's lavished love. Not only does he give us love that we then can share, and it's real love, it's not just something, well, okay, I learned this morning I should love other people, so I'm not going to go love them. No, it's real love that pours into us by the Holy Spirit and can overflow out of us. We cannot create it and say, okay, I'm going to love. No, it's poured in and overflows out. There is a very good reason for Christmas. We found out already that Christ died for the ungodly. The expression of love was he died for our sins. Did it occur to you that that's why he was born? In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it tells us why he came to this earth. Since the children have flesh and blood, that means us, since these ungodly people that he loved in the world have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who has the power of death. It tells us here that he shared in our humanity so that he could die. He was born a baby so he could be human, and he became human so he could die. In glory, in heaven, he could not die. He became a man. So the birth of Jesus points to the cross. The reason he was born was so he could die, and he died so we could be children of God. It says that he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. People are afraid to die, and they're slaves to fear. And he sets people free from fear. You say in Romans, it said, at the right time. At the right time. And in Galatians, I read earlier, it says, in the fullness of time. And this birth and death were really one time. Not exactly in terms of minutes, but in terms of history, they are connected together, that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born. And at the right time, he died for the ungodly. This love is not natural created human love. This is love that goes beyond any human expressions. One of the great shakers up in my thinking was about 20 years ago, we had an operation called God's Garage, where the 80 worst kids in town hung out in this garage. And they were the kids that I would not allow my children to hang around with if it was some other person's yard. But it was our yard and our garage, and they were foul, and they acted foul, and I found out later they called the place Doper's Ditch. We called it God's Garage. Different viewpoints. And it dawned on me one time, there was one fellow who's in prison now, that I knew he didn't get enough love. He was a little guy. His name was Bruce, but they didn't call him Bruce. They called him Willard, I think. And there'd be 30 guys, and I'd come up behind him, and I'd pick him up and hug him. And all the time I was hugging him off the ground, he would call me foul names. But I could tell he liked being hugged. Well, here's what the shocker to me was one day. I realized that I loved these kids with a purer love than I love Bessie. Because I love Bessie because she is lovely. There's no way I could love these kids because they're lovely. The only way I could love these kids was with supernatural love. That I called upon God for the grace to give to people who did everything. They used to throw rocks at us. I mean, they broke out of the windows many times. They'd drop 22 shells in the oil stove. They set the place on fire three times. One time, Bessie and Heather went out and put it out, and the flames were up to the... Wasn't that high? Okay. Well, let me expand on it a little bit. But it was scary. These kids were not lovely. And it's this kind of supernatural love that God gives to us to forgive us of our sins and to give it to others. 2 weeks ago, I'd gone up to Post Falls to witness to the parents of one of our staff members for a couple hours. And on the way back, I was singing this song I recited earlier. And I began to make another stanza to it. I won't sing it, but I'd like to read this extra stanza that I put to this music. If we would love the God above with heart and mind and soul and strength, if we could know his love below, its height and depth and breadth and length, then we had known the love he's shown and had our sins forgiven, then we had love as we've been loved and on our way to heaven. It's hard for me to express things because I'm not emotional. On these psychological tests, I come out off the chart on objectivity. But I'm overwhelmed with the love of God, and that's why I'm in the ministry of the gospel. My aptitude tests tell me I'm an engineer. And I'm not. And the difference is this overwhelming love that God has for us when he saved us and shed it abroad in our hearts that we might change the world with this love. This is the reason for Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is everlasting life. This is eternal life. that we know Him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He is Him. Shall we thank God? Father in heaven, thank you very much for your love for us and for our salvation and for the people who don't have it. We pray that you would reach out to all of our families and all of our neighbors with this love. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.